Hey guys, welcome to the pilot episode of The Weekend Hangover. It's Monday, so you know what that means. We're all hungover from the weekend. Let's get to it.
So our first topic today, we're going to talk about, is Major League Baseball back? I saw today that I don't know if it was the players' union or the league itself, but they're aiming for around 50 games, if I'm right. I don't know if someone can correct me on that if I'm wrong, but I think 50 games, which just shows how incompetent Major League Baseball is. And I know there's a big dispute about money with the players and how much they're being paid and stuff like that. But I don't know, it just seems like two idiots are talking in this debate of how long the season should be played for. And it's just really dumb.
Yeah, I would agree. I did see Manfred was talking about 48 to 50 games that were going to be played. And, yeah, it seems pretty ridiculous. You know, players need to decide, you know, do they even want to, you know, if they only play 50 games, I mean, some teams that shouldn't be in the playoffs probably going to get in because they could have hot starts and things like that. If you're only playing 50 games, what, you're going to play 30 against your division, 20 against, like, out of your division? I don't know how that would work out. So it's all kind of messed up with that. And Manfred's got to figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah, this is my first time hearing about the 50-game proposal. That just sounds completely ridiculous to me. Very difficult to determine, you know, whether the best teams would actually get into the playoffs. And say if you're going to do that, you might as well just start with the playoffs. I mean, what's the point of having the 50 games?
So you're just saying they have, like, one big bracket and have, like, seven-game series, like –
yeah,
based on like last year's standings or something?
Possibly.
I don't know if that ever happened, but that's kind of an interesting idea. I mean, yeah, it's like more of like, especially with baseball, like anything can happen in seven games. You can have you can just have a bad team that's hot at the moment and they can, you know, go all the way. So I don't know about that. But the thing is, do they play every day? Is that like a thing that'll happen? Are there going to be like, is it going to be like 50-something games in like 60 days or something? Or is it going to be like 50 games in like, I don't know, like 80 days? So can you not have a 5-man rotation, like trim it down to a 4-man or even a 3-man rotation if you have that many off days? Obviously, hopefully injuries would get cut down on at that point. I think just depending on how long the season is would
– yeah. I also saw that some of the owners were talking about this. Like, it was from John Heyman. He's a kind of a baseball junkie. He said that one or two owners have already said they'd be fine with calling off the season. There are a couple more that think like that. And they only need around 8, apparently, to, you know, cancel the season. So I guess that could be a possibility, too. And also, I know it's going to obviously affect the collective bargaining agreement, just mess everything up there in that regards.
Yeah, just with all the disputes right now going on, it seems like we're headed to the direction of having no baseball, unfortunately.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, Manfred is just a complete idiot, complete imbecile.
Does it kind of remind you of Goodell?
No, Goodell reminds me more of a, how do I describe this? More of a 1940s dictatorship vibe.
Oh, okay.
Led by a authoritarian regime.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, Central Europe, I think, something like that. Roger Goodell just lies consistently too.
All right.
But Manfred just is just
incompetent. Imbecile.
Yeah, incompetent is a good word. So I don't know. I think we'll be back. I'm not sure if it is. It's not the baseball that we know.
I'm going to say that it will be back eventually, but we won't. Yeah, like you said, we won't know. Could be 40 games, 50 games. I do kind of like that playoff format, though. That could be very interesting how that works. I'm not sure if players would really want to do it, though, but we would see. I don't know.
Maybe you'd have, like, more teams make the playoffs. So, like, two teams from each division kind of – or, like, a – I'm not sure how that would work out, but
yeah, because I saw another thing they were talking about from expanding from the 10-team playoff to either 14 or 16. So, yeah, either more wild cards or multiple divisions potentially, or multiple teams from multiple divisions get in. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I think that would obviously help, like, the Indians, which is our favorite baseball team.
Yeah,
because definitely. It gives us a better chance. But I don't know, it just – like more randomness can happen, especially in baseball when that sport is probably the most random sport, as you see a lot of teams that are wild card teams, just like the Nationals last year that won the wild card game and then go and win the World Series. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
And speaking of Roger Goodell, bringing up the topic of Jameis Winston claiming he is historically one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game of football. Is Jameis Winston the GOAT, or does he just have severe CTE?
David, I'll give this one to you to start out with.
All right. Well, as we know, Jameis Winston got some surgery on his eyes over this little off season that has been, you know, a long time, and we'll see if football does come back in the fall.
I think it will. I'm pretty sure that's, like, going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it will come back. Just obviously maybe not as the same as it has been. But, you know, he threw for most interceptions in the league, unfortunately. But he also threw for the most yards in the league, 5,000, I believe, or a little higher than that. And I do think Winston has a potential shot at starting over Breeze if Breeze keeps on, you know, messing up and saying stupid things out in the media. I'm not sure he will, but we'll see how that goes. And I do think if Winston started, he would be a threat in the NFC, even though he obviously would have to face Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and McCaffrey and the Panthers two times a year. But, yeah, I do think Winston has a potential shot. He's only, what, 25 years old, something like that. So he's got a lot more years left, and hopefully he gets into his prime in the coming years.
Awesome.
You know, I think, does Jameis Winston actually believe what he says? No. I mean, we can all look at the numbers. We know he's just not up there with some of the historically great quarterbacks. And as you mentioned, even in his division, you have Tom Brady. I think he's by far and away the best. What I believe is that this is Jameis Winston's way of motivating himself. And I think we've all seen the documentary about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance.
I have not, actually, but...
No? Okay. Well, he would often make up scenarios in his head in order to motivate himself, you know, claiming that he would take certain things personally and take it out on the basketball court. I think this is Jameis's way of just trying to put himself in that next level and trying to achieve some of his greater aspirations on the football field, just as a way to try and hold himself to a greater standard and ultimately improve his game.
Well, I mean, I'm not really into hypotheticals, like you said, and Jordan is hypothetically saying some things that, you know, aren't even true and trying to pump himself up. I guess that's a way to do it, or maybe, you know, just have confidence in yourself to perform in the field. And Winston obviously does when he slings that ball down there, throws it 5,000 yards. Mm. And also, yeah, you said he doesn't, you know, match up with the top guys historically, but he's only 25. He's got a lot of years left on his game. And I don't, you know, a lot of these top guys, like Breeze, Rodgers, Brady did do well in his first couple of years, but Breeze, Rodgers, and a lot of other top guys didn't really do well in the first couple of years they played and eventually turned out to be potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So I don't know. What do you have to say about this, Kyle?
I have a question for Austin, kind of.
Yeah, shoot.
Would you say John Elway is a good quarterback? Like, yes, historically, good quarterback, right?
Good, yeah.
One of the top quarterbacks of all time.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to bring out some stats here because I like to back up my argument. Jameis Winston last year threw 33 touchdowns. That beats any year John Elway, any of his season totals. I believe Elway, his best season was 27 touchdowns in a season. That was in 1997 where he was a Pro Bowler, and Jameis Winston threw for 33 last year and wasn't a Pro Bowler. I think there's a definite unnecessary hatred towards Jameis Winston. I think it could stem back to the crab legs incident, where that just let a sour taste in many football fans' mouths. But yeah, I mean, if you're a blind quarterback and you're throwing for 33 touchdowns, what can you do when you can see with 20/20 vision?
I mean, I do agree with your point here, because I am a supporter of Jameis Winston, but in Austin's defense here, Winston did throw, what, 30 interceptions this year, and I don't think Elway probably even threw over 20 at any point in his career for a season.
In 1985, he threw 23.
Okay, that was one season out of how many?
Looks like 15-ish, 14, and then he hit 19, okay, 18,
Winston,
17.
I'm pretty sure Winston has thrown 20 interceptions multiple times in his career.
That's also factually incorrect. The second highest amount he was at 18.
Really?
Yeah, and that was in 2016.
Why would you say he hopped so much, though, from 8? I mean, whatever he was last year was probably 15 or 16 to 33 or 30.
I believe that can be, you know, we can talk to his eye doctor on why he's seeing so bad. So
he's got progressively worse in season.
I think so. I think maybe, you know, Jameis Winston seems like the guy that would kind of stare at the sun for too long.
Maybe out there in Tampa, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of like looks up in the sky and just sees like a plane or something, and then
maybe he was looking at that lunar eclipse we had a few years back.
That's a great point, Austin. I forget what year, 2016, 2017 that was, but that is definitely, that argument can definitely be made.
You know, definitely a Jameis Winston fan. Do like the guy. Mm-hmm. As of right now, don't think he's the GOAT. He certainly has some potential to be a great quarterback, especially under the leadership and knowledge of Sean Payton down there in New Orleans. But I think we're going to have to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, let's move on to the next topic, and I think this might get a little heated. So I want you guys to give your top five NFL quarterbacks heading into the 2020 season. I'll give it to I'll give it to David to start.
All right. So for myself here, you know, a lot of good quarterbacks in our league, but you know, they only can narrow it down to there's only so many elite quarterbacks in our league. And I would say going into the 2020 season, so at number five, excuse me, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson coming at the five spot. You know, every year he's pretty consistent in what he does. Passer rating's always high. His completion percentage is up there. Seahawks, you know, pretty sure made the playoffs every single year Wilson has been on their team. He does get a lot of, you know, he doesn't really get that much notice. He's never gotten MVP vote. I think he should have, but so that's why I have him at five. He's, you know, always a great quarterback. Coming in at number four, I have Tom Brady, unfortunately, but he's a lot of weapons around him there in Tampa Bay, and I think, you know, he'll be able to figure something out and probably make his way to the playoffs. Obviously, we all know his deal, and I don't have to explain much about him. Coming in at number three, I'm having Aaron Rodgers. Bad, bad man. I think he's coming at number three. He's been consistent throughout his career. He's still, you know, still has a couple more years and left on his career, and hopefully he can get, you know, back to the playoffs like they did last year. Fortunately, they didn't really have too many weapons they drafted. They drafted Jordan Love. I'm not so sure about that pick, but I think Rodgers, number three, is a good fit for him, and I think Green Bay will win that division pretty easily over the Vikings. And then number two, I'm coming in at New Orleans, Drew Brees, because I do think he'll still start over Jameis Winston, even though there's a chance. I think Breeze will end up getting the nod through from Sean Payton. And yeah, Breeze has had, you know, terrific careers. Has Super Bowl, been the playoffs multiple times, has a lot of talent around him. I think this year's his year, and I think actually the Saints will be in the Super Bowl. And then at number one, the guy who did it last year, got his first Super Bowl, Patty Mahomes. I think Mahomes is going to have another excellent year Kansas City. And, you know, he's got the weapons for him, and guy's got a hell of an arm. And I think our Super Bowl matchup, I mean, it's probably one of the top odds, but we're going to have Kansas City's going to nod out New Orleans, but I think – or my bad, Kansas City's going to play New Orleans in a Super Bowl. And I believe, actually, Drew Brees will take down Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Who's going to start in that game, David, for New Orleans?
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah, in the Super Bowl. Is he going to be Drew Brees, or is he going to be Jameis Winston?
Like I said just a little bit earlier, I think that Brees will get the nod to start over Winston in the regular season just because his relationship with Peyton is so solid, and I don't think he'll mess up before the season starts. But obviously, you know, anything could happen. But I think Breeze will start, and I think he will start in the Super Bowl, and he will outplay Patrick Mahomes and take home a second Super Bowl, and maybe he'll even retire after that happens, go out on top. But yeah, that's my top five, and Austin, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you leave out one player, as I think
you are
a big fan of Lamar Jackson, but it seems like you see he is just a glorified running back.
I was gonna make that point too, Austin.
Okay, well,
he must be number one on the running backs list.
No, I mean, yes, that's my top five going into the season. Lamar right there at number six. It's obviously a tough decision to make, but
Would you say that maybe Lamar Jackson's a little fraudy going into the 2020 season?
I don't know. I mean, he had what, fifty touchdowns last year combined.
Okay.
Better than anybody in the league.
But would you say maybe that's a system
thing? I don't know. But like you said, like you always say, you know, need time to figure things out. So maybe we'll have to see what year three for him brings in the NFL and if people can figure him out.
Got a little exposed by Tennessee in the playoffs, I would say.
I mean, yeah, it happens. Anyways, Austin, go to you. I want to hear your top five.
Yeah, well, I have one more comment to say with regard to Aaron Rodgers. You know, that seems like a pretty dicey situation over in Green Bay. With the whole draft situation, it seems like the team and the front office just aren't clicking. Kind of reminds me of Hugh Jackson and Baker Mayfield and how they had a pretty poor relationship. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can perform to his absolute best under those circumstances, so I did leave him out of my top five.
Go ahead. I'll talk after.
Yeah. So coming in at number five, I have Dak Prescott.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little bold, but you know, they drafted CeeDee Lamb, arguably one of the best receivers. They've got Amari Cooper, one of the best route runners from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think with a good running back, good offensive line, he's got weapons. I could see him, you know, really throwing for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. Number four, I do have Drew Brees. Not as high as David, but, you know, he is proven year in and year out. He can sling it. Number three, I have Russell Wilson. You know, I think just building more chemistry with rookie wide receiver last year, DK Metcalf, big fan of his. And also just a guy who knows how to play football, very smart. At number two, Tom Brady. I think with the weapons he has around him in Tampa Bay, you know, such an improvement from New Orleans or New England. And offensive line was a worry, but, you know, they addressed that in the draft with Tristan Wirfs. So I think, you know, Tom Brady has a good shot to perform very well. Number one, Patrick Mahomes. I think this is an obvious answer. You know, former MVP, Super Bowl winner. He's proven he can handle tough situations. And, you know, I just don't see how you can put anyone else in that spot.
David, were you going to talk about, were you going to say anything to Austin. Sounded like you were gonna, you know, try and irk him a little bit.
No, I'll let you talk and let's see your top five.
All right. Starting at number five, we have maybe. I'll take that back. I'll say Jimmy Garoppolo. If you're not the GOAT, it's probably the best thing to learn from the GOAT, and Jimmy was able to do that for multiple years in New England. Got his team to the Super Bowl last year with not the greatest of weapons, but a good supporting cast. I just think going into this year, he does have weapons now. I think they took a wide receiver in the second round, I want to say, or in the mid rounds this year. So they have weapons for him. Kittle's there. They have a trio at running back. They'll be fine. Number four, coming in, Aaron Rodgers. He's kind of at the twilight of his career, but still dangerous, scary to play against. No matter what game, honestly, especially if you get to play him in Green Bay. Number three, you have Russell Wilson. Just silently one of the best quarterbacks in the league year in and year out. I would say, personally, the best dual-threat quarterback in the league. I don't think there's really much debate to that. Very accurate, you know, can run the ball, and that's very valuable in today's NFL. Number two, we have the GOAT, Tom Brady. Yeah, I don't think you can really say too much more. You take the GOAT and then you put him with two top 10 NFL wide receivers or two top 15 NFL wide receivers with his old buddy Gronkowski at tight end. And you're going to have one good offense. And then number one, we're going to go with Patty Mahomes, MVP winner. Probably the best arm I've seen on a quarterback ever. Just overall, just a player, a baller, and yeah, he's number one.
So I actually had one thing kind of thought about. I forgot to say it, but it was when Austin was talking. So you said that you don't think that Aaron Rodgers was really gonna, you know, their whole system kind of reminds you of Hugh Jackson and the Browns.
Not so much the system, more of the relationship.
Yeah. So last year, I don't know if you remember, but the Packers lost, or McCarthy stepped down, mm-hmm. and they got LaFleur. People thought LaFleur and Rodgers weren't going to really be able to work it out, but, you know, Green Bay was one of the top teams in the NFC. Rodgers didn't really have that many weapons and still
seemed. But I still think they were. They did have tension last year.
LaFleur. They did, but they still figured it out, though. I mean, they had 11, 12 wins, and he still had.
What did they do in the playoffs there, Davey?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but it just seemed like Austin was saying that it wasn't going to work out that well because, you know, he compared to Hugh Jackson, and obviously we know what happened with the Browns there with him.
Well, don't get me wrong here. I think Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, you know, very smart. I just don't see him competing at such a high level to place him in the top five. I think when you're looking at Baker Mayfield with Hugh Jackson, when Hugh got fired, they were still running the same system under Greg Williams. Nothing changed. The only thing that differed was that Hugh Jackson wasn't there. And I think having that personality in the room just kind of shook Baker the wrong way. I think after a pretty rocky offseason with Green Bay drafting Jordan Love, I don't know how Aaron Rodgers is going to see that, and I don't know how that's going to affect his mind going into this season and whether that affects his play. I think it does.
Yeah. All right. I can see your point there. So I guess moving on to our last topic here in the sports realm, I'm going to start out with Kyle. Give us your breakout QB candidate for the 2020 NFL season.
All right, I'm going to try to keep this quick. My guy's Kyler Murray. He's coming from the Oklahoma quarterback tree that Lincoln Riley has going there. I think next year, especially with D-Hop being there, and they have a couple other guys that I think are going to be pretty good this year. Christian Kirk, Larry Fitz is still there, so you have guys.
But they did lose David Johnson.
Yeah, obviously. Washed up David Johnson. They have Kenyon Drake there, so it'll be fine.
Still some. Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Austin?
Yeah, my breakout QB player of the year, Drew Lock for the Denver Broncos. Played 5 games last year, went 4-1. You know, Denver adds Melvin Gordon at running back in the offseason. They get Jerry Jeudy in the draft. And I think And I think just with that stacked roster, I think he's poised for a real breakout season, you know. He'll start, actually, get full 16 games. He has some experience from last year, has a great opportunity to learn this offseason, get more familiar with the playbook, and I think he'll be a star.
All right. So, yeah, I do like both your guys, QB selections there, both pretty respectable. But it was pretty tough to choose here. There's a lot of young talent, and I really had a tough time figuring out who could be the best breakout QB of the year. But in the end, I decided that I think Teddy Bridgewater on the Panthers.
Wow.
What? What's so funny about that, Kyle?
Teddy Bridgewater is, 29 years old, 28 years old, and hasn't done anything in his NFL career?
He's actually 27.
27, okay. So he's in his high 20s. Really hasn't done much. Gotten injured a whole lot. That's one thing he's done. And I think our golden rule with players in sports is the best ability is availability, and Teddy Bridgewater just has not been available.
Yeah, okay, I understand that point. But he's going to get the starting job, I believe, over Greer in Carolina. And now they have a new system of Rhule, right? I believe from Baylor came in there.
Matt Rhule.
Yeah, Rhule.
You do not have good experiences with that last name, David, let me tell you.
Yeah, anyway, so Matt Rhule came in there. But by the way, you know, if you didn't know, when Breeze got knocked out last year for New Orleans, people were panicking. Oh, no, New Orleans, you know, might be in trouble. Playoffs, you know what Teddy Bridgewater did? 5-0, didn't lose a game, won all 5 games.
Would you say that that's a testament to Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill?
I mean, Bridgewater was that quarterback.
So was Taysom Hill.
But Bridgewater, I mean, he was in there for the majority of snaps.
I mean,
68% completion percentage, not bad. 9 touchdowns, 2 picks, not horrible.
Sounds like a game manager.
I mean, if you can win games, I think that's pretty solid. Obviously,
I would say Taysom Hill's more of the X factor then, just like when you bring him in, the defense kind of gets a little scared and starts getting flustered out there when
like I said, though, record shows he's 5-0, win games. Not saying he's going to go to the playoffs, breakout player of the year. I think he's going to do pretty well. Obviously, it's a tough division with Breeze and Brady in there, and Matt Ryan. I mean, but I think he's going to, you know, break out. People aren't going to see it coming. Another person I'll say real quick, because we want to move on to the next section, obviously. Another person I was thinking about, didn't say, was Dwayne Haskins. I know he lost a lot of weight and got, you know, a lot more fit during the offseason. In that division, the NFC East is always a toss-up. I mean, you know, 8 wins that division, it seems, every year. Obviously, Dak Prescott, maybe he'll figure things out, but you don't know, really. Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, they haven't really been consistent throughout their careers, but I don't know if you guys have any more comments on this or if you want to move on to our next section.
I think I'm good. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
So next one here, Ohio bars are now allowed to stay open till 4 a.m. Austin, Kyle, what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, you kind of can have like slumber parties now at bars, especially the ones that like are going to, you know, that have the open up at 11. You can just kind of like, that's kind of a genius business idea I just thought about. Have little like Nook and like Brick Street. and just for people to sleep in.
Maybe sleep upstairs, right, in the new patio.
Yeah, you can sleep in that new patio. It could be like a campsite. So you can put bar, grill, and campsite.
Even if, I don't even know if that's going to get built, but we'll see.
All right, even if it's not built, you can put all of them, like, on the dance floor.
All right. What are some, like, pros and cons of this, though?
Yeah, I think this is a dangerous situation. You know, usually bars close around – lights come on at 1:30, bars close at 2. Awesome. You open another closer? 2 hours. You're having these kids drink even more alcohol. And, you know, just sitting here thinking about the people I see leave bars at 2 a.m., you know, they're not walking straight.
Can you give a little bit more description on those people?
Awesome. In that establishment for another 2 hours and keep feeding them alcohol. I think we're going to have some trouble on our hands.
Awesome. Can you give like a further description on these people that leave bars at 2 a.m.?
Just can't walk straight, stumbling over themselves, slobbering, full of sweat. I mean, it's just disgusting. I think that only gets worse when you leave bars open even later.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another thing I was thinking about. So, you know, when you leave bars, a lot of people like to go eat food. So now a lot of these places are going to have to stay open even later to serve you if you want a little snack on the way home or things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if places are willing to stay open until 4 or 5 a.m. because then they got to open up, what, next day at 10 a.m.? We'll see about that. But I think there's pros and cons to it. Obviously, pros for us college kids stay out later and things like that. But maybe bars, what they'll do is cut off drinks maybe at 2 a.m. I don't know if they can really do that. Probably not, because they're trying to make the most amount of money they can. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's definitely good for the bars because they get, you know, they can possibly get more money if they're still allowed to, like, sell drinks that late. But at the end of the day, a lot of kids are going home absolutely just blitzed. So,
I mean, maybe.
Especially underage kids. So they're going to be walking to their dorms at, like, 4 in the morning, and that just screams arrest. More so.
I mean, we don't have to deal with that.
I'm just looking out for my fellow classmates, love and honor. So I don't want to see anyone get arrested.
So if bars are staying open till 4, though, you think they'll open later now?
What do you mean open later?
Like they're open the doors later. You know, Brick doesn't open doors sometimes. This is Miami for anyone who doesn't know this, but you know. They open doors at what, 9:10 now?
I don't think they take a break, dude.
I'm saying they're open all day. But I'm saying like once the line gets like you know crowded and things like that, they usually we'll open it at like 10:30 or whatever. Now we'll be like 11, and then you know might be pushing us to go out later, which could be an interesting thing.
Yeah, that would happen.
I think the time stays the same, but you brought up an interesting point about the line. You know, a lot of people flood that line trying to get in before it closes. But when you add more time, does that line get shorter as people, you know, realize that, hey, we can not wait in line, get into break at midnight and still have 4 hours to be in the bar? Does that shorten the line?
That's true.
It can definitely, like, get people to go to other bars before and then.
A little bar crawling.
Yeah, a little bar crawling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll be able to, you know, be able to bar crawl with all the time. Brick's open till 4. News open till 4. CJ's, everyone's open till 4.
Yeah.
But it'll be really interesting. Guys have any other thoughts on that?
I think it's an interesting thing. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but it's interesting.
I think to sum it up, say good for business, bad for the people.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on to just a couple of things that we kind of see in our daily lives. This is like our personal update section. One thing that's really been bothering me lately are, you know, guys and girls that are 21 or over but they drink like they just got their first Four Loko when they were 16 years old, and they act like complete idiots. I don't know. It's just not a good look.
Yeah, I can agree with you there, Kyle. But yeah, I know you had an experience this weekend, Kyle, with one of our dear friends, Nick.
Yeah.
What would you say? Was he doing this, or was he, you know, a little better?
See, the thing with Nick is he did not act like he was 16 at all. He really kept his composure under pressure. What he was trying to go for was to drink 22 beers in the 24-hour period to beat, actually, you, David, who drank 21 in 24 hours. He did end up drinking 22 and a half. And, you know, he was acting normal. All of a sudden, you know, alcohol really kicked in, and he ended up, you know, getting a little sick, and we had to help him out, which is fine, whatever. You can't drink that much and realistically expect you're going to be fine. But yeah, he really kept his composure, so hats off to Nick this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You get a golden star.
Well done, Nick.
But people in general that drink like this, what is something you can say or do to them to make them, change their ways?
Honestly, it depends on the person. But if they get arrested or get in trouble with the law, I think that that should make them change their ways. Some people, if they get, you know, arrested or get in trouble, they'll be like, oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. There's not really too much to say. It depends, because if a lot of people, you know, when they're drunk and blacked out, they don't really listen to you. So it's kind of tough in the situation, but you would hope that once you're 21 and you've already been maybe drinking for a couple of years prior to that, you would be able to handle yourself. But yeah, that's all I got on it.
Austin, anything else?
Well, everyone has their sweet spot.
Yep.
I think it takes high level of maturity to recognize what that is and stick to it, not to go past it. I think for some people, there's a lot of ego involved in how much you can drink for some reason that I don't think I'll ever understand. But I think that comes down to maturity, knowing your limits, how much you can drink and still have a good time, and you know how much you may drink and become irresponsible.
Yeah, and one more thing. Like, yeah, I understand, you know, every once in a while, you know, going a little over what you should do and having a little fun, and maybe you have to get babysat a little bit, but when it consistently happens, it really grinds my gears and gets annoying. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. I think we're going to move on, though, and our last topic of today's show is going to be TikTok thoughts that have zero talent. I'll start off on this one. TikTok, I think, is a really good app. There's some good content creators on that app that actually have talent. But there's a lot of girls age 16 to like 22 that all they have to do is just dance provocatively to gain followers and views and just attention, and it's kind of just annoying at this point, because literally, I don't know, like every fourth video is just some half naked girl dancing in her bikini to trash song. So
do you like that though?
No.
Really?
No. Yeah,
oh
no.
Okay. I was misunderstood. I thought maybe you did. But yeah, I do agree. I think it's a little ridiculous. I mean, like, you know, if a guy were to do the same thing, seems like they would maybe be shamed or called names. But when girls do it, you know, people say, "Oh, look at that cake," or look at other things like that. And it is a little annoying, you know, for guys, and, you know, some of them like to do those things, and they just get completely bashed.
I'm sorry, but I'm a little confused here. Like, are these girls dancing with, like, cake in the background? Why is pastry involved here,
David? Like birthday cake, or?
Well, I mean, it can be cake. It can be birthday cake.
But what are you talking about, though?
What
What are you talking about?
I mean, I know you guys know this, I would assume.
I'm not sure if you might just be playing with me here.
But cake is sometimes referred to as the behind.
Got it.
Oh, it's like
that makes sense.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. But Austin, if you have any thoughts on this, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you guys hit it on the head. You know, it seems like a call for attention to me. What they're going to do with this attention, we have yet to see. It seems like most of these creators on TikTok just keep repeating the same dances over and over and over again. I know I've become tired of it. I'm sure in the near future, many other people will as well. But I don't see this going very far, to be quite honest. Eventually, they're going to have to do something else, change up what they're doing. Because in this day and age, people's attention spans are very small. You know, we're expected, everything is instant, everything is quick. And with just seeing things repeated over and over, I don't think that's a way to last on TikTok.
And another thing is all these top people on there, like Charlie D'Amelio, Addison Rae, and a lot of other people, they are kind of influencing the youth. And seems like, you know, we don't really want people to think, oh, my kid's going to act like that when they grow up. And you don't really want that feeling as a father or mother. So, you know, who's really to blame here? And you know, these top people are kind of messing with the brains of young children.
Yeah. Going back to that, David, being on TikTok multiple times per day makes me at times to not want a daughter. Because just that is unacceptable. Like, yeah, I mean, obviously for some people it's a good watch, but like, not gonna say it's for me. But it just, like, zero talent is there, and all you're doing is just getting 12 to 16-year-old boys excited off of a dance and, like, a really annoying song, honestly. So, I don't know. I don't know how you really stop it. I mean, I know TikTok kind of takes down, like, certain videos if they're just blatantly dumb, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the creators that do get famous off of, you know, some provocative dancing, eventually they're going to have to transform their skills to still be relevant, to make money, to be successful. I don't think dancing is going to cut it. You know, eventually you're going to need to find some other thing to do. And unless you're super famous like Addison Rae or Charlie D'Amelio, I just don't see that happening.
Where are the parents? That is another question I have. Where are the, like, I don't know.
Pretty much.
Bad parents.
Generation below us is pretty much messed up. Yeah. Generation below us is kind of messed up.
Yeah. Kind of screwed up. All right. Any other final thoughts, it. Boys?
I think that's it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our first show of the Weekend Hangover. We're going to do this every week for the foreseeable future and try and provide you guys, you know, sports topics, pop culture, just stuff from our lives that we see every day. We'll be back next Monday with a whole different slate of topics. I'm sure as the week goes by, we can find, you know, more things to talk about that are interesting, that are relevant and current. So we welcome all the listeners to our journey of making this podcast.